This is Radio 4, and now we present A Canticle for Leibowitz, a dramatisation by Donald Campbell of the first two books of Walter M. Miller Jr.'s Hugo Award-winning novel. The time is a future 600 years after a nuclear holocaust. In an abbey in the Utah desert, the monks of the Order of the Blessed Leibowitz struggle to preserve the remnants of humanity's scientific knowledge. Novice Brother Francis is undergoing his Lenten fast in the desert prior to taking his final vows. A Canticle for Leibowitz.
God, in order to test mankind, which had become swelled with pride, as in the time of Noah, had commanded the wise men of that age, among them the blessed Leibowitz, to devise great engines of war, such as never before had been upon the earth, weapons of such might that they contained the very fires of hell, and that God suffered these magi to place the weapons in the hands of princes. Such was the folly of princes, and there followed the flame deluge. After the first unleashing of the hell fire, cities had become puddles of glass. Whole nations had vanished from the earth. The land littered with bodies, both men and cattle, and all manner of beasts, together with the birds of the air, all things that flew, all things that swam in the rivers, crept in the grass, or burrowed in holes. The demons of the fallout covered the countryside, and great clouds of wrath engulfed the forests and the fields, withering trees and causing the crops to die. There were great deserts where once life was.
Adonai Elohim, King of all, who maketh bread to spring forth from the earth.
Who's there? What do you want? Creep up on me, will you? Stay back there, now, or you'll feel the weight of my stick. If it's meat you're after, I'm nothing but gristle. But I'll fight to keep it. Back now, back, or I'll...
Wait! Look. Good simpleton, look at these. Do you understand what they mean?
Rosary beads. Oh, I see. One of them. What are you doing out here in the ruins? Well, boy, what's the matter with you? Cat, got your tongue? Can't speak? But you just did. Not allowed to. You'll... never mind the sign language, boy. If you won't speak, write it for me. Here, on the rock. Don't look so surprised, boy. I'll understand. Still writing backwards, I see. Penance, solitude, and silence. Now I understand. You're keeping a Lenten vigil, eh? That's the Leibowitz Abbey down yonder, isn't it? I see you've been building a fine burrow for yourself here.
Abhaje, Satanas.
Steady, boy, steady. I know that you're not free to have anyone here at this time, but it can't be helped, can it? You've worked hard, made a fine job here. Couldn't have been easy in this heat. I'll tell you what, though. You'll need a strange shape of rock to fill that gap. See it? See it there?
That name, Nos Induces.
And I know, you're not free to accept help either. I've not offered to change the stones into bread for you yet, have I, eh? Well, then, I'd best be on my way and leave you alone. Tell me, will your brothers at the abbey let an old man rest a bit in their shade?
They'll give you food and water, too. I tell you that in charity.
I don't take charity. For that, I'll find you a rock to fill that gap before I leave.
But you need not...
God with you, boy.
Too little, O Lord, did I love thee in the time of my youth.
Over here!
Wherefore, I grieve exceedingly in the time...
Here's a rock that is likely to fit. I'll mark it and
in vain did I flee from thee in these days.
Not as you please.
Set me free, O Lord, from my own vices, so that in my own heart I may be desirous of only thy will and be aware of thy summons when it comes. Thank you!
From the scars of the earthquake,
deluge, the plagues, the madness, the confusion of tongues. There began the bloodletting of the simplification. Remnants of mankind turned on other remnants, killing rulers, scientists, leaders, technicians, teachers, and whatever persons the leaders of these maddened mobs declared to be deserving of death for having helped to make the earth what it had become. Nothing had been so hateful in the sight of these mobs as men of learning. Isaac Edward Leibowitz, a scientist, after a fruitless search for his wife, Emily, had fled to the Cistercians, where he remained in hiding during the early post-deluge years. 6 years later, he returned to the far southwest to search for Emily or her grave. There, in the desert, he had become convinced of her death, for death was unconditionally triumphant in that place. Leibowitz went back to the Cistercians, took their habit, and became a priest. 12 years later, Father Isaac Edward Leibowitz won permission from the Holy See to found a new community of religious men, to be named after Albertus Magnus, teacher of St. Thomas and patron of men of science. Its task, unannounced and at first only vaguely defined, was to preserve human history for the great-great-great-grandchildren of the simpletons who wanted it destroyed. Our earliest habit was what it is today. Burlap rags and bindlestiff.
Fingo. Fingo. Fingo! Over here!
What the... Francisco?
Over here, Fingo!
By the... Oh, Francisco! What's happened to you? Oh, here, drink some water. You look like a sick sheep, boy. I mistook you for a pile of bones. Drink.
Oh, thank you, Fingo.
What happened to you?
I found some things that belong to the blessed Leibowitz in an underground shelter over there.
What? You found what?
I met this old man, a pilgrim. At least I thought he was a pilgrim. And I didn't exactly meet him either. He just sort of appeared to me.
Appeared?
No, not like that, Fingo. I didn't see which direction he came from, that's all. I was building a burrow, and he showed me this rock.
But you're not supposed to accept help, Francisco. You're not even supposed to talk to anyone.
I couldn't help it, Fingo. Anyway, there was this rock.
What rock?
The rock the old man showed me. It was to fill a gap in the wall of my burrow. He put its mark on it and went away. When he had gone, I went to fetch it, but when I lifted it up...
Yes?
I found that it covered the entrance to an underground cave. There was a sign that said, Fallout Survival Shelter.
Fallout? There wasn't a fallout there, was there?
No, the place is deserted. Go and look if you like. It's just over there.
Oh, not me, Francisco. I've heard of fallouts. Oh, fearful demons by all accounts, capable of inflicting the woes of Job on any mortal it attacks. The blessed Leibowitz himself was possessed by one until baptism drove the demon out. Now, that is a recorded fact.
Well, there were no fallouts and no sign of any. Only the skull of a long-dead human with a gold tooth in its mouth. And there was this.
What is it? A box or what?
A carrying case of some kind, I think. Oh. Look at this, Gringo.
What are these things? Hill pagan charms? Oh, this is old, Francisco. Oh, this is really old.
Never mind these bits and pieces. Look at this document here. It's a blueprint, Fingo.
A what?
A blueprint. A real, original blueprint. We have a number of ink facsimiles of these at the Abbey, but this is an original.
You mean this is a work of art?
Yes. It's priceless. And look at this note.
Eh? Oh, I'm sorry, Francisco. This is just gibberish to me. What language is it?
Pre-deluge English.
Oh, well, except for what we sing in the choir, I never studied it. What does it say?
I'm not sure. My own knowledge of PDE is far from masterful. But there's no doubt about these words on the blueprint. It reads, Circuit Design, Leibowitz. I.E.
Here, oh, give me that.
Bingo! What are you doing?
I'm putting all the stuff back in the box. We'll take it back to the Abbey with us.
Back? But Bingo!
No arguments, Francisco. As soon as we're back, I'll have Brother Pharmacist brew you up one of his toadstool specials. Oh, Leibowitz, I.E. That's the fever, brother. The fever.
From the curse of the fallout.
To the southwest desert and buried them in kegs. Memorizers committed to rote entire volumes of history, sacred writings, literature, and science. Other members of the new order located a water hole about 3 days' journey from the book cache and began the building of our abbey. The blessed Leibowitz, while taking his own turn at booklegging, was caught by a simpleton mob. A turncoat technician, whom the priest swiftly forgave, identified him as not only a man of learning, but a specialist in the field of weapons. Hooded in burlap, he was martyred forthwith, by strangulation with a hangman's noose not tied for neck breaking, at the same time being roasted alive.
Carl, must grab plane 4... Oh, can't make that out. In 20 minutes' time. For God's sake, keep M there till we know if we're at war. Please try to get her on the alternate list for the shelter. Can't get her a seat on my plane. Don't tell her why I sent her over with this box of junk. But try to keep her there till we know... Oh, this is so indistinct. At worst, one of the alternates not shown. I.E.L. I.E.L. Brother Finger was right to bring the boy back. If he stayed out in the desert, there's no telling what else he might have found.
Benedicamus Domino.
Deo? Gratias?
Come in, my boy. Come in.
The Lord Abbot sent for me.
Brother Francis, do come in and shut the door. Yeah, the Lord Abbot did send for you, yes, but perhaps it would have been more fitting if the Reverend Father Abbot was sent for by you, now that you've been favored by Providence and have become so famous.
Oh, no, my lord.
Oh, you do not dispute that you have won overnight fame, that Providence elected you to receive this box of junk.
Reverend Father...
Oh, Francis, you are 17 years old and plainly an idiot. Are you not?
This is undoubtedly true, Lord Abbott.
What excuse do you propose for believing yourself called to religion?
No excuse, Magister Meus.
Ah, so you feel you have no vocation to the order?
Oh, I do.
But you propose no excuse?
None, Reverend Father.
Oh, you little cretin, I am asking you for a reason. Since you state none, I take it you are prepared to deny you met anyone in the desert the other day. That you stumbled on this box of junk with no help. And that what I have been hearing from others is only feverish raving.
Oh, no, Don Marcus.
No what?
I cannot deny what I have seen with my own eyes, Reverend Father.
So you did meet an angel, or was it a saint, or perhaps not yet a saint?
I never said he
and
was...
And this is your excuse for believing yourself to have a true vocation? That this... shall we call him a creature? Spoke to you of finding a voice and marked a rock with his initials and told you it was what you were looking for, and when you looked under it, what did you find? A box of junk.
Yes, Don Marcus.
What is your opinion of your own execrable vanity?
My execrable vanity is unpardonable, my lord and teacher.
To imagine yourself important enough to be unpardonable is an even vaster vanity.
My lord, I am indeed a worm.
Very well. You need deny only the part about the pilgrim. No one else saw such a person, you know. You claim he was headed in this direction, that he inquired about the abbey, that he even said he might stop here.
Yes, Don Marcus.
Well, he didn't. No such person came past here. The brother on duty in the watchtower didn't see him. Where would he have disappeared to if he had ever existed?
I don't know, Reverend Father.
You don't know. Are you now ready to admit that you imagined the creature?
If it were not for the marks he made on the rock.
Yes, the marks, yes. A copy has been taken of these marks. I have it here. Do you know what these marks mean?
No, Reverend Father. I
couldn't... Hebrew letters. That is a lamath, and that is a tzada.
Tzada? Lamath?
No, idiot. Hebrew reads right to left. Lamath, tzada. An L and a TS sound.
Let's. 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 Oh, no!
Yes. Now, you put these marks there yourself, didn't you?
No, Reverend Father.
You didn't think of it yourself, of course. When one of your chums put you up to it, who was it?
No one, Reverend
Father.
You
manufactured this whole business, didn't you?
No, Lord Abbott.
Brother Francis, will you admit you imagined the old pilgrim?
No, my lord.
Very well. Do you know what is going to happen to you now?
Yes, Reverend Father.
Gather up your habit and bend over the desk. Brother Francis, will you admit that you imagined the pilgrim?
No, Reverend Father. Deo gratias.
Care to change your mind, boy?
Reverend Father, I cannot deny. Deo gratias. Deo gratias. Deo gratias. Deo gratias.
Dear Brother Francis, are you quite sure you saw the old man?
Certain.
Who do you suppose he might have been?
Reverend Father.
You have convinced me, boy. Worse luck for you. Please, you may sit down.
If it's all the same to you, Reverend Father.
All right. Stand.
Reverend Father.
Are you sure beyond any doubt that this pilgrim was just an ordinary old man?
My lord, you don't suppose
Francis,
he might...
I'm not asking you to suppose. I'm asking you to be flatly certain. Was he or was he not an ordinary flesh and blood person?
I think he was flesh and blood, Reverend Father.
Hmm?
But not exactly ordinary. In some ways, he was extraordinary.
Extraordinary? In what ways?
Well, he could certainly read. And it is my belief that he knew Scripture.
Indeed. And what led you to this belief?
He said something about changing the stones into bread.
Oh, out. Out, Francis. Get out.
From the place of Glamsilo, O Lord, deliver us.
Francis Gerard of Utah, by the grace of God, discovered the relics of the Blessed Leibowitz in a shelter in the desert. He was 17 years old and a mere novice. The shelter was sealed and the relics dispatched to New Rome for study by the inquisitors of the Curia. 7 years passed, during which time the venerable Francis remained in the novitiate, spent 7 Lenten vigils in the desert, served in the kitchen, and scrubbed the stone floors of the abbey.
Rise, Brother Francis.
Reverend Father?
Leave this work. An inquisitor has arrived from New Rome. He wants to speak to you about the document you discovered some years ago.
I'm not permitted to discuss the matter, Reverend
it's
Father.
All right.
You said...
It's all right. This isn't official, not yet. They've been studying these documents in New Rome for some time, and they want to verify a few facts, that's all.
I would have supposed they considered the matter too trivial to spend time on.
Trivial? I think not. We expect the case for the canonization of our founder to be reopened quite soon. The shelter is to be explored by independent witnesses.
You're going to open it up again, Reverend Father?
No, not I. I sealed the shelter because I did not wish our order to seem too eager. And I'm not going back on that. When New Rome is ready, however, observers will be sent. Then anything that is discovered in the shelter will be safe. And the opposition will not be able to question its authenticity.
Opposition, my lord?
The Advocatus Diaboli. He's been trying to cast doubt on the early life of the Beatus, pre-deluge. The suggestion is that Emily Leibowitz was still alive at the time her husband accepted holy orders.
What?
The devil's advocate accuses our founder of taking vows before his family responsibility was ended. So if these documents are proven authentic and the human remains you found prove to be female...
It would pinpoint the time of Emily's death at the very beginning of the war that nearly ended everything.
Indeed. Now, the Inquisitor is waiting in my study. Go to him directly and tell him the whole story.
Very good, Reverend Father.
Francis, before you go...
Yes, my lord.
Tell me, do you still feel that your vocation is with us?
Oh, if the Reverend Father will pardon my execrable vanity...
Well, let's just ignore your execrable vanity for a moment. Do you, or don't you, feel that your vocation is with us?
Oh, I do. Magister Maius, I do.
Well, my son... I think we're convinced of it, too.
Oh, Reverend Father.
If God calleth thee to be his bootlegger, wilt thou suffer death before betraying thy brother?
Aye, Lord.
If God calleth thee to be his bootlegger, wilt thou suffer death before betraying thy brother?
Aye, Lord.
If God calleth thee to be his bootlegger, wilt thou suffer death before betraying thy brother?
Aye, Lord.
Then arise, brother bookleggers and brother memorizers, and receive the kiss of brotherhood.
Brother Francis.
In the dark seas of centuries, where nothing seems to flow, a lifetime is only a brief eddy, even for the man who lives it. There is a tedium of repeated days and repeated seasons. Then there are aches and pains. Finally, extreme unction, and a moment of darkness, signifying the end. Or, rather, the beginning.
The face is nearly finished, Francisco. How do you like it now?
What did you use for a model?
Oh, no model. I'm an artist, Francisco, not a copyist like you. I trust in God to guide my hand, and let me draw the face of the Beatus out of the living wood.
I know that face, Fingo. I can't get over the feeling that I've seen him before.
Not around here, brother. Not in our time.
I can't place it, but... Somehow...
You've been taking sketches while I work, haven't you?
Yes.
I've tried to anticipate how it would come out.
There you are, then. You just recognize your own sketches, that's all.
Maybe, but...
How's your own project coming on?
The blueprint? Oh, I don't know.
Well, what's the matter? Aren't you going to finish it?
Oh, it's nearly finished now. It's a very brief project.
What's the problem, then?
Well, when the documents were returned from New Rome some years ago, I thought it would be a good idea to make a copy of the blueprint. They fade eventually, you know, and it had been handled a lot in the light by the Dominicans. But Brother Horner, who was in charge of the copy room at the time, allowed me to spend a few hours a week on it. That was 5 years ago.
And now you're nearly finished.
Yes, but... Oh, I don't know. Somehow, a copy of the relic doesn't seem enough. It's too cold, too unimaginative. It doesn't commemorate the saintly qualities of the Beatus in any way.
Well, then, why don't you illuminate it?
Illuminate it? Oh, I don't think I'm nearly proficient enough for that. Not yet. Oh,
you're learning, though, aren't you? It'll take you a year or so just to prepare the materials. Now, by that time, well, you should have the skill as well.
That's true, I suppose. Oh, Fingo, do you think I could?
Why not, brother? What have you to lose?
I'll have to find some lambskin.
The best available, Francisco. The very best. And be choosy.
It'll take me months of spare time to cure it and stretch it and stone it and bleach it.
And even then, you'll have to store it away for many more months until it's ready.
In the meantime, I can search the memorabilia for clues to the meaning of the image.
Oh, Francisco, don't be so concerned with meaning, boy. Trust in God, brother, as I do. And put some art into the matter.
What have we here?
It's a drawing, Brother Jairus.
Oh, I can see that, but what is it?
The Leibowitz blueprint.
The one you found. Your copy doesn't look much like the original. Why the changes?
It's going to be an illuminated copy.
Transistorized control system for Unit 6B. What's that?
Clearly, Brother Jairus, it is the title of the blueprint.
But what does it mean?
It is the name of the diagram which lies before your eyes, Brother Simpleton. What does Jairus mean?
Very little, I'm sure. Forgive my density, please. You have successfully defined the name by pointing to the creature named, which is truly the meaning of the name. Now, the creature diagram itself represents something, does it not? What does it represent?
The transistorized control system for Unit 6B, obviously.
Obviously.
How eloquent. In my opinion, it's a high abstraction of perhaps transcendental value, expressing a thought of the Beatus Leibowitz.
Indeed. And what was he thinking about?
Why, circuit design, of course.
What discipline does that pertain to, brother?
Look here. Observe this column of figures and its heading.
Mm.
Electronics, parts, numbers. There was once a discipline called electronics, which might belong to either art or science, so it is written.
Well, keep at it, brother. Keep at it.
The years flowed smoothly by, seaming the faces of the young and adding gray to their temples. The perpetual labor of the abbey continued, daily storming heaven with the ever-recurring hymn of the divine office. On the feast of the five holy fools, in the year of our Lord 2574, a Vatican messenger arrived with glad tidings for our order. His Holiness the Pope had directed that a decree be issued, recommending canonization.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my son. Tell me, Francis, have you ever thought about death?
Frequently, my lord abbot.
You pray to Saint Joseph that your death will not be an unhappy one.
Often, reverend father.
His holiness has invited us to Rome for the canonization of our founder, but brother pharmacist forbids me to travel. And it would not be well for Father Prior to be absent while I am ill, so, Brother Francis, you must go alone.
Very well, Magister Muse.
It will be a long and difficult journey for you, my son, and inevitably you will be robbed. Take an ass with you. Sometimes these robbers will be satisfied with the theft of an animal. As an added precaution.
Yes, Reverend Father?
I wear a black patch on one of your eyes. These peasants are a superstitious lot and can often be routed by the merest hint of the evil eye.
I'll remember, Lord Abbot.
You're probably getting more credit than you deserve for the fact that the date of Emily Leibowitz's death has been conclusively established. Thank God for that, Francis. But claim no more. We are sending the original Leibowitz relic with you to the Vatican, but I suggest you also take your illuminated commemoration as a personal gift to the Holy Father.
Oh, my Lord and teacher.
Oh, bless you, Brother Francis. You've always been a good simpleton. Now, off you go, and pack your bindle stiff.
Come on, girl. Come on, now. That's the worst of it, over. Just a little farther. There we are. Now, you see, we've crossed the desert, and we've been through the darkest part of the forest, and there's been no sign of danger. From now on, we should be up. Monsters! Misborn monsters! Stand back! Look!
Ah, that eye patch is an old trick, brother. It wore out long ago.
Sir?
It wouldn't work on these creatures anyway. Look at them. You think they're afraid of the evil eye? They were conceived in evil, have lived in evil, and will die in evil.
Still, they have immortal souls.
So said your Pope Leo. And that's why they call them Pope's children.
What about you, sir? You're not...
Well, I have six fingers in each hand, but you're right. I'm not a mutant. I'm a robber. And I'm here to rob you.
Sir, I'm from the Abbey. I have nothing but my begging bowl.
Oh, the last man I met with a begging bowl had half a hecklo of gold in his boot. Let's see what's in your robe. No, my children. Not this one. He's far too scrawny. You can't blame them, you know. They get hungry after a couple of days just sitting there. Business is bad just now, you see. The traffic's very light. What's this here?
Only documents of value to no one except the owner.
I'll decide about that. Ooh. What a pretty. Now, wouldn't a woman like that hang on the cabin wall? There's gold there, isn't there?
Worth nothing to speak of. Please,
what
sir.
Is it? A charm? Oh, I see. These two papers. One is the ghost of the other. What magic is this? What's it called?
Transistorized control system for Unit 6B.
Huh? Well, whatever it is, I'm having it. You can keep all the rest. But I'm having this.
Please, sir. It took me 15 years to make that.
15 years for this? So that's what you do in the Abbey.
Mary Joseph, for the love of God,
15 years for this woman's work. I'll tell you what. If you want your pretty paper, I'll let you buy it back.
Buy it?
2 hecklos of gold. That's the ransom. And don't tell me you're poor. If you want it badly enough, you'll get the money.
The other document...
Yeah, this one? Ah, that's nothing. Not even pretty. Here, take it. It's no use to me.
Thank you, sir.
You want to eat my children? There goes his donkey. Run, 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 run. 2 hecklers of gold, brother. Don't forget, bring it here any time. And you'll get your pretty paper back.
Heaven be praised. The Lord in his infinite wisdom has caused the robber to fall into error. 15 years of my pride and vanity have been taken away. But I have been left with a blessed relic of the holy Saint Leibowitz.
Gerard, of the Order of St. Leibowitz.
Holy Father.
Welcome to New Rome, Brother Francis. An account of your journey has reached our ears, my son, and our heart was deeply grieved when we heard of your misfortune.
It was really of no importance, Holy Father. I mean, it was important, but...
Be not troubled, Brother Francis. We know that you had brought a gift for us and that it was stolen from you. But your presence here is gift enough for us. Long have we cherished the hope of greeting you in person. For the brothers of St. Leibowitz, we have always felt a most fervent affection. Without the work of your abbey, the world's amnesia might well be total.
Thank you, Holy Father. May I present you with this relic of St. Leibowitz? It is the original blueprint I found in the shelter.
But I thought...
The highwayman was kind enough to leave it in my keeping, Holy Father.
And why did he do that, my son?
He mistook it for a copy of the Illumination, Holy Father.
And you did not correct his error?
I'm ashamed to admit, I did not, Holy Father.
So then, the bandit thought your work was the treasure itself, huh? Even a robber can have a keen eye for art, yes?
It was nothing, Holy Father. I only regret that I wasted 15 years in the making of it.
Wasted, Brother Francis? Tell us, do you understand the symbols used by Leibowitz on this blueprint, the meaning of the thing represented?
No, Holy Father. My ignorance is complete.
So is ours. Beloved son, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for these 15 years. Never think of them as wasted. Offer them to God. Someday the meaning of the original may be discovered and may prove important. We'll have you to thank for that. After all, if the robber had not been misled by the beauty of your commemoration, he might have taken the original, might he not?
I must admit that possibility, Holy Father.
So, to you, Brother Francis, we shall give a special token of our appreciation. Take this purse of gold. It contains the sum of 2 hecklers. Huh? We trust you will know best how to use it.
Oh, yes, Holy Father. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you.
Alleluia!
Believe that this was the haunt of a robber. The last time I was here. Forget it. When the robber comes, I'll give him the ransom and get my illumination back. Not that I care whether he comes today or tomorrow. I'm so happy. I could sit here forever, watching the buzzards wheeling in the sky. What's that? Looks like someone's coming now, out of the desert. It's not... No, it's not the robber. It's a pilgrim, I think, dressed in burlap with a bindle stiff. He looks... He looks familiar. He looks so familiar. Oh, my eyes must be deceiving me. It couldn't be. Surely, it couldn't be after so many years.
Eat! Eat! Get out of there! Get away! Or I'll bring them up! Oh, you misborn savages! Who have you murdered now? Dear God, no. It's the boy.
Since then. Now, in the year of our Lord 3174, a dark age seems to be passing. For 12 centuries, a small flame of knowledge has been kept smoldering in this abbey. Only now are the minds of men ready to be kindled. Truth can be, has been, crucified, but soon perhaps there will be a resurrection.
Amen.
Dr. Deo, why can't we drink water?
While we are here, Joseph, we must conform to the customs of this
country. Such a thing is too much conformity. These savages are supposed to be our allies, aren't they?
Captain Josard, you are not my servant. I cannot command you, but I warn you.
This drinking of blood is a repulsive custom, which sticks in my throat.
If you're not careful, something else may stick in your throat. More importantly, it will not put a rein on your temper. It will bring disaster to our entire mission.
I will not grovel to these savages, Tontadeo.
Be afraid! Be afraid! For the mighty one walks among his children. Grovel! O clans, for his name is Hongan Os Madbear, a name well won, for as a youth, he did overcome a bear, run mad, and with his naked hands did he strangle her.
Careful, Josard. Tell me, Madbear. How is it that your people drink no water? Is it because your gods object?
Who can tell what the gods drink, grass eater? Water is for cattle and farmers, milk is for children, and blood is for men. Should it be otherwise?
Mighty chief, my comrade here has just been remarking on the manliness and health of your people. He believes that your diet is responsible for this. Mad Bear, I have a request to make of your greatness. Tomorrow, we shall continue our journey to the west. If some of your warriors could accompany our party, we would be honored.
You wish an escort? For what purpose?
Some of your people disapprove of our presence here, while your hospitality has been...
They're afraid of the lesser clans! They fear being ambushed as soon as they leave my tents. They eat grass and are afraid of a fire.
How does he dare?
Sard, fear not, Outlander. Real men shall accompany you. But tell me this. What is it you go to seek in the Western Dryland? Nothing grows there that even cattle will eat.
We seek no new land, but the skills of an ancient sorcery.
An ancient sorcery in the West? I know of no magicians there, unless you mean the dark-robed ones.
These are the ones we seek.
Ah, what magic do they have? Their messengers can be captured so easily that it is no real sport, although they do endure torture well. What can you learn from them?
It is said that writings, incantations of great power are hoarded at one of their abodes. If this is true, the dark-robed ones don't know how to use them. But we hope to master them for ourselves.
Will these dark robes permit you to observe their secrets?
They don't dare hide them any longer. We could take them if we had to.
A brave say. You grass eaters are clearly braver among your own kind than you are among real men. Ah! Old woman! Pour these outlanders another cup of red!
This is to notify you that Tan Tadeo Fardendrat, DNSE, Sage of Sages, Scholar of Scholars, fair-haired son out of wedlock of a certain prince, and God's gift to an awakening generation, has made up his mind to pay you a visit. He will be arriving at the Feast of the Assumption, if he manages to evade bandit groups along the way, bringing with him his misgivings and a small party of armed cavalry, courtesy of Hannigan II, whose corpulent person is even now hovering over me as I write. May I see that seal again, Lord Abbot?
Certainly, Brother Clarence.
Okayed by Hannigan II, by grace of God, Mayor, Ruler of Texarkana, Defender of the Faith, and Vaquero Supreme of the Plains.
I wonder if His Supremacy had someone read the letter to him later.
If so, my lord, would it have been sent?
No, I suppose not. But read on, Brother Clarence. The next part is most interesting.
Let me caution you about this person, Tantadeo. Treat him with your customary charity, but trust him not. He is quite brilliant, but a secular scholar and a political captive of the state. Furthermore, he is rather anti-clerical, I think, or possibly only anti-monastic. On the other hand, the dictates of charity and justice insist that I recommend him to you as a well-meaning man, or at least as an unmalicious child, like most of these educated and gentlemanly pagans. He will behave if you are firm. But be careful, my friend. He has a mind like a loaded musket, and it can go off in any direction. Well, my lord, how can I help you?
Frivolity under Hannigan's nose, just despite the mayor's illiteracy, is not like Monsignor Marcus Apollo at all. There seems to be a hidden meaning in that letter, and, well, since you're here, and since you are the Papal Nuncio's secretary, I wondered if you could, throw some light on the matter.
Well,
Yes, Brother Claret?
Lord Abbot, as you know, I have not seen Monsignor Apollo for many months, being presently on my way back to Texarkana from New Rome, where I carried out a special mission on the Nuncio's behalf. Perhaps it would help if I revealed to you, as I am empowered to do, the nature of that mission.
Oh, please proceed, Brother Clarid.
My lord, our intelligence sources inform us that the nomad tribes of the plains are preparing for war.
What? But surely the agreement of the Holy Scourge was designed to deter such an action.
With respect, my lord, the agreement of the Holy Scourge does not mean much to Hannigan II. According to our sources, the mayor himself has encouraged Mad Bear to break camp.
But why? What could Hannigan hope to gain?
If the nation of Laredo comes into conflict with the Plains Nomads, it wouldn't take much for the state of Chihuahua to attack Laredo from the south.
Oh.
Hannigan could then march victoriously to Rio Laredo himself.
But if he were to take such an action, he would immediately incur ipso facto excommunication.
Father Abbot, I fear that would distress very few of Hannigan's people, and the mayor himself, not at all.
Oh. Well,
We're in the Empire of Denver here. How will this region be affected?
Hannigan intends to unite the entire continent eventually. After Laredo is firmly leashed, he will have broken the encirclement that's kept him in check, and his next move will be against Denver.
Oh.
That, at any rate, is Monsignor's assessment of the situation. My mission was to deliver an oral report of it to New Rome.
I see. And is it known when this carnage is due to begin?
My lord, I fear it may have begun already.
What? But how can you know that?
Perhaps this is the hidden meaning in the Nuncio's letter. The warning regarding Tantadeo, for instance.
But if war has begun, the learned Tan is in grave danger.
Possibly, but I think not. Tadeo is Hannigan's kinsman. If Mad Bear has broken camp, and Tadeo arrives here safely...
Yes.
Hannigan's treachery is confirmed. And Tadeo's visit may have a purpose other than that which he has declared.
But Tantadeo comes to study the memorabilia. Well, what other purpose could he have?
This abbey has strong walls, my lord. It would make a fine fortress.
Oh, God save us.
Indeed, my lord. And now, if there's nothing further, I'd like to be on my way while the light lasts.
Oh, of course, Brother Claret. Come! I'll walk with you to the gate. Farewell, Brother Claret. Travel safely.
Thank you for your hospitality, Lord Abbott.
Farewell.
Father Galt.
Yes, Father Abbott?
Have you heard anything of old Benjamin lately?
Oh, no, my lord. There's a wisp of smoke up there on the mountain, though, so I guess he's still alive.
We shouldn't have to guess. I'm going to ride over there tomorrow to see him.
Better be careful, Domney. They say he throws rocks at climbers.
But I haven't seen him for 5 years, and I'm ashamed of that, Father Galt. I'll leave in the morning.
Very well, Reverend Father. I'll make the necessary preparations.
Good.
Is there anything else?
Oh, yes. We're expecting a visitor soon. A secular scholar from Texarkana. The learned Tantadeo. Arrange for the poet to be cleared out of the guest house.
That'll be my pleasure, Father Abbott.
Where on earth did that animal come from?
Oh, no. Poet! Poet! Wake up! Wake up!
What's that? What's that? Oh, my dear Father God.
Did you get out of bed, Poet? You're moving out of here.
Moving? What?
Now, dump your possessions in the hall. Sleep in the stable boy's cell if you must, but come back here in the morning and scrub this place out.
But Father God...
The stench in here is foul. The sooner you're out of here, the better.
But what is the hurry, Father?
We need these rooms for an important visitor. Tantadeo of Texarkana.
Ah! Well, as you wish. Actually, I was planning to leave anyway.
Were you?
Only my book isn't finished yet.
What book? I'll get your things out of here, including your glass eye.
Careful with that, Father. I lost it once, and my behavior was quite shameful until I found it again.
Your behavior is always shameful, Poet, with or without your so-called removable conscience. You'd better replace it.
Thank you, Father.
And where did you get this bottle of wine?
No, I can't explain about that.
This is sacramental wine. You stole it from our cellars.
It has not been consecrated, Father Galt.
Oh, I'm surprised you thought about that. And what about that goat? Where did you steal that?
I did not steal the goat, Father. It was a gift from a very dear friend.
Whose dear friend?
Mine, Father. Benjamin, Father.
You stole the goat from Benjamin?
Please, not stole, Father Galt. Benjamin insisted on the gift after I had composed a sonnet in his honor.
The truth, Poet.
I won the goat from Benjamin in a game of Lumbly Peg.
Ah.
The old wretch nearly cleaned me out and then refused me credit. I had to stake my glass eye against the goat, but I won everything back in the end.
Get the goat out of the abbey.
But it is... Or rather, she is a marvelous species of goat. Her milk contains essences which, according to Benjamin, are responsible for the old Jew's longevity. All 5,408 years of it.
The goat, goat, poet.
But I won her fairly, Father.
We have no use for a goat, and neither have you.
Oh, no.
And what does that mean, pray?
Tantadeo is coming, you tell me. From what I hear of him, we will all have need of a goat before much longer. You can be sure of that.
Hola, Ole!
Benjamin! Good afternoon!
Paolo! I thought you'd be dead by now. What are you doing here?
I brought back your prodigal goat. And I thought I'd pay you a visit.
The animal belongs to the poet. He won it fairly in a game of chance.
Well, I won't have it wandering around the abbey and bleeding in my church. Oh, it's good to see you, old friend.
Well, you've changed, Paolo, since we last met. When was it, 5 years ago?
Oh, I would have come sooner, but I've not been free.
You look as pale as a cheese and wasted. You look ill.
Oh, I'll be all right. I've had some trouble with my stomach lately, and our physician told me to rest. If an important guest wasn't expected, I'd pay no attention, but he's coming, so I'm resting.
Riding 10 miles across the desert is resting?
Oh, it's quite tiresome, but for me, it is resting. And I've been wanting to see you for a long time now.
Well, come into my mansion, eh? We'll have some milk, and you can tell me what is worrying you. Oh,
forget about the milk, Benjamin. I brought wine.
Oh, such generosity.
Long life, Paolo.
Long life. What's this I hear about your throwing rocks at the novices who come up here for the Lenten fast?
Rocks? Pebbles. I had a bad experience some time ago with one of these young fellows, one that I don't want to have again. I was mistaken for a distant relative of mine, name of Leibowitz.
Oh, Benjamin. St. Leibowitz has been dead for 12 centuries.
I didn't see it happen 12 centuries ago, did I? It was only 6 centuries ago. In the days when novices were more devout than they are now, and certainly more credulous. Poor young fellow. I had to bury him later. His name was Francis, I think.
Oh, yes. That would be the venerable Francis Gerard of Utah.
Maybe.
In the time of Abbot Arkas.
Whenever it was 600 years ago, Bart.
Oh, Benjamin. Anyway.
Forget about Francis. That's an old story. What's your problem with Tantadeo?
Oh, Benjamin, you are amazing. Tell me, how do you manage to know everything and everybody without ever stirring from this mountain?
One sees, one hears. You better tell me what's on your mind, Paolo.
Well, it all began with Brother Cornhoa's lamp.
Soon, Reverend Father, we'll have a light such as no man alive has ever seen.
This is not without a certain vanity, Brother Cornhill.
Vanity, Reverend Father, to put to good use what we have learned.
Oh, never mind, never mind. Well, let's see this engineer's wizardry. Mm. Where does the light come out?
We have a special lamp for that. What you see here is only the dynamo. It produces the electrical essence with which the lamp will burn.
This essence, can't it be produced from mutton fat?
I'm afraid not, Reverend Father.
Oh, I see. And where is the lamp itself?
Here it is. The ancients would have called it an arc lamp. These are the carbons, and the light comes from the gap between them.
Oh, it must be a very tiny flame.
But bright, Reverend Father, brighter than 100 candles.
Really? And to think how we've been limping along on beeswax.
Actually, I've been wondering if the ancients used the lamp on their altars instead of candles.
No, definitely no, I can tell you that. Please dismiss the idea from your mind, and don't even think of it again.
The poet told me about that lamp. He prophesied it wouldn't work.
The poet was wrong, as usual. Well, so they tell me. I didn't watch the test myself, but it worked all right.
Splendid.
It set me wondering, how close are we to the brink of something? Right, how close to a shore? For 12 centuries, we've been one little island in a very dark ocean. But now, I sense the predicament of the shoemaker who tries to sell shoes in a village of shoemakers.
It could be done if he manufactures a special and superior type of shoe.
I'm afraid the secular scholars are already beginning to lay claim to such a method.
Then get out of the shoemaking business before you're ruined.
How do we do that? By becoming secular scholars ourselves?
I've been called a secular scholar at various times by certain people, and sometimes I've been staked, stoned, and burned for it.
Benjamin, please don't look at me like that.
Lightfoot.
I am not one of those, whoever they were, who drove you out here to solitude. Torquemada is dead, Benjamin. I am Paolo. Paolo of Pecos. I was born 70-odd years ago, and pretty soon I'll die. I'm your friend, old man. And when you look at me, I wish you would see Paolo and no other.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget.
I know. Sometimes you forget that Benjamin is only Benjamin and not all of Israel.
Never. For 32 centuries,
Why, Benjamin? Why? Why do you always say I when you mean we? Why do you take the burden of a people and its past upon yourself alone?
You are fishing in dark waters now, Paolo.
No, am I? My dear old friend, I too am a member of a oneness, a continuity. Mine too has been despised by the world. Yet for me, the distinction between self and congregation is clear. For you, it has somehow become obscure.
The burden was pressed upon me by others. Should I refuse to bear it?
Bless you for a brave fool. Even a wise fool.
Wise fool? You always did specialize in paradox and mystery, didn't you, Paolo? If a thing can't be seen in contradiction to itself, it doesn't interest you at all. It might make too much common sense.
Oh, Benjamin.
You have to find wisdom in folly, life in death, threeness in unity.
You blasphemous old cactus! Please tell me, what do you think about Tantadeo and, well, whatever's brewing?
I ask the opinion of a poor old anchorite.
Because, Benjamin Eleazar bar Joshua, if all these years of waiting for the one who isn't coming haven't taught you wisdom, well, at least they've made you shrewd.
Insult me, rail at me, bait me, persecute me.
And all you'll say is,
I have no sympathy for you. The books you stored away may be holy with age, but they were written by the children of the world, and they will be taken from you by the children of the world. And you had no business meddling with them in the first place.
Ah, so now you care to prophesy?
Not at all. Soon the sun will set. Is that prophecy? It's merely an assertion of faith in the consistency of events. The children of the world are consistent too. As far as this Tantadeo is concerned, let's hope he's on our side this time and not with the others.
Others? What others are those?
Manasseh, Cyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, Caesar, Hannigan too? Need I go on?
Name was Leibowitz, who, in his youth, like the holy Augustine, had loved the wisdom of the world more than the wisdom of God. But now, seeing that great knowledge, while good, had not served the world, he turned in penance to the Lord.
Enough, brother.
And that is your only account of it?
Oh, there are several versions, Tantadeo. They differ in minor details. I doubt if a single completely accurate account of a flame deluge exists anywhere.
Fascinating. Of course, I've heard similar legends. It's obvious that something quite hideous came to pass. But tell me, when may I begin to examine
The memorabilia.
The memorabilia, of course. Would tomorrow be too soon?
You may begin at once, if you like.
feel free to come and go as you please.
Thank you, Don Paolo. I think I'd like to begin with that fellow who wrote to me, Kornhor.
Ah, Brother Kornhor and his miraculous lamp.
A lamp? Intriguing.
Principio Deus, Calum et Terram creavit, Fatuus Antum erat Mundus, Cum Tenebris in Superficie Profundorum,
Hortus est de Spiritus Supra Aquas,
Gracias Creatori Spiritui, Et Lux Ergo Facto Est,
Lord,
I had not known.
Right as a thousand torches.
Incredible. Unthinkable. Impossible.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
My dear Tantadeo, I must apologize for such a ghastly experience. I'm quite mortified.
A lamp of electricity. How have you managed to keep such a thing hidden for all these centuries?
I assure you, Tantadeo, we keep nothing hidden. The lamp is of Brother Kornhor was devising. Fashioned from some wagon wheels and copper wire he procured from the local smith at Sanley Bowitz.
Then Brother Kornhor, my Lord Abbot, has made a standing broad jump across two decades of preliminary experimentation. He's just dispensed with it. Gone straight from an understanding of the principles to the lamp itself. Now, you believe in miraculous intervention, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I don't. But there you have a real case of it. Oh, wagon wheels? Why, what could he do if he had a machine shop? I cannot understand what a man like that is doing cooped up in a monastery.
I suggest, Tantadeo, that is a question you put to Brother Kornhor yourself.
Oh, I will, Lord Abbot. Believe me, I will.
Now, if my hypothesis is correct, closing this switch here on the field coil should cause a sudden brightness of light.
Mm.
If it doesn't, then we throw out the hypothesis.
You might throw out the coil instead. I'm not sure it'll produce a strong enough field.
Oh, I am. You have an instinct for these things. I find it much easier to develop an abstract theory than to construct a practical way to test it. But you have a remarkable gift for seeing everything in screws, wires, lenses, while I'm still thinking abstract symbols.
But the abstractions would never occur to me in the first place, Tantadeo.
We would make a good team, brother. I wish you would join us at the Collegium, at least for a while. Do you think your abbot would grant you leave?
I would not presume to guess.
I've heard mention of brothers on leave. Aren't some members of your community employed elsewhere on a temporary basis?
Only a very few. There are some brothers studying at New Rome.
That's it, of course. A scholarship at the Collegium for you, brother. There would be a stipend, of course, which I'm sure your abbot could put to good use.
Tantadeo, I'm flattered. But you see, all of this, the lamp, the dynamo, the hypotheses, for me, seems nothing more than play. My vocation, my true vocation is to religion, to a life of contemplation and prayer.
Et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sedete.
And what are we having tonight, Father Dart? Roast fish and honeycombs in honor of the temporal resurrection? Or have you, my lord abbot, finally cooked the goose of the mayor of the village?
I would like to cook your goose, poet.
Ah, such culinary excellence one enjoys in this place, Tantadeo. I do hope brother chef has his usual gusto tonight, his inward flame, his enchanted touch. Perhaps we shall have his mock pork a la Friar John.
Sounds interesting. What is it?
Greasy armadillo with parched corn, boiled in donkey milk, or regular Sunday special.
Poet, please desist. Tantadeo, Captain Joseph, I apologize for this man's presence at our table. He was not invited.
We are familiar with the species, my
lord. Hannigan keeps several court fools, too.
You needn't apologize for him, lord.
Oh, then allow me instead to apologize for the Lord Abbot, sire.
Poet.
Oh, that's all right, my lord. I don't mind. You apologize for me, I apologize for you. And isn't that a fitting maneuver in charity and goodwill? Allow me to serve as your humble helper, your apologetic advocate, and you will never have to eat your own crow.
Drop it, poet. Please drop
it. It's a fine system, Tantadeo, and one that I might have been able to offer you, too.
Might have been.
Unfortunately, someone stole my blue-headed goat. A fine animal with a hair as bald as Hennigan's and as blue as the tip of Brother Ambrose's nose. I had meant to make you a present of this goat. But
do we need a blue-headed goat, Joseph?
Well, I see no pressing urgency about it, sir, no.
Oh, but the need is obvious. They say you are writing equations that will remake the world. A new light is dawning, they say. If this is so, someone will have to be blamed for the darkness.
Hence the goat. A sickly jest.
Is that the best you can do?
You mistake my meaning. The goat is to be enshrined and honored, not blamed. Crown her with the crown Saint Leibowitz sent you, and thank her for the light that's coming. Then blame Leibowitz and drive him into the desert. That way you won't have to wear the second crown. The one with thorns. Responsibility, it is called.
I don't care for your tone, poet.
And when your patron's army comes to seize this abbey, the goat can be placed in the courtyard and taught to bleat. There's nobody here but me. There's been nobody
Enough,
here but
Joseph!
Me.
Enough, Joseph!
How dare you? A swordsman as well as a draftsman, I see. Well, my friend, your sketches of the abbey's defenses show such promise. I predict
those words will cost you dear, poet.
Hold it, Josard. Hold it, I say.
Sire.
Put your sword away. You'll have to face mine before noon tomorrow.
As you wish, sire.
Now, make your apologies and leave us.
My lord abbot, gentlemen, pray forgive me.
You too, poet.
My lord abbot, I...
Oh, poet, now.
Since you insist, father, before I do, father, I will present Tantadeo with a gift. Here, your brilliance. This will watch you carefully. I fear you need it more than I do. Good evening, my lord. Farewell.
What is this?
The poet's glass eye. He calls it his removable conscience. He will commit no sin while he is wearing it. Without it, I fear he commits rather a lot.
Who goes there?
That's what you say to those who are trying to get in, brother, not the ones who are trying to get out.
Poet, what are you doing here? All packed, too.
What does it look like?
You're not leaving, are you?
I'm afraid so, my friend. It's all getting a bit too unhealthy around here for me. Open the side entrance for me, will you?
Of course. We'll be sorry to see you go, poet. In spite of everything.
What's that? Listen.
There's someone out there.
It sounds like he's in pain, too. Open the door, quickly.
Sanctuary. Saint Leibowitz. Sanctuary.
Brother Clark.
In addition to these studies, my colleague at the Collegium, Tan Mao Ma, is heading a project which seeks further information about the origin of the human species. We have located one pre-diluvian fragment, which suggests a very revolutionary concept. If I interpret this correctly, man was not created until shortly before the fall of the last civilization.
Oh, what? Then where did civilization come from?
Not from humanity. It was developed by a preceding race which became extinct during the flame deluge.
But holy scripture goes back thousands of years before that.
You are proposing that we are not the descendants of Adam? Not related to historical humanity?
It's only conjecture, but it would account for much.
And absolve of much, too, would it not? Man's rebellion against his makers was, no doubt, merely justifiable tyrannicide against the infinitely wicked sons of Adam.
I didn't say that.
To the image of God he created them.
Freedom to speculate is necessary.
And the Lord God...
For the advancement of science.
Put him into the paradise.
If you would have us hampered by blind adherence... unreasoned dogma, then you would prefer to leave the world in the same black ignorance and superstition you claim your order has struggled against, nor would we ever overcome famine, disease, or misbirth, or make the world one bit better than it has been for centuries.
Tantadeo, the world never was any better. It never will be any better. It will only be richer or poorer, sadder but not wiser, now, always, and forever. Until the very last day.
Amen.
Oh, I betrayed him. Oh, God, forgive me. I betrayed him.
Will he live, Brother Francis?
I don't know. This treatment, starvation, exposure, fever, only God can tell. Come on, we'd better get him inside.
Not me, brother. I have to leave. The watchman will help you. But here, I found this in Brother Clarence Bindlestiff. You'd better see that my Lord Abbot gets it.
What is it?
I don't know, but it looks to me like a mayoral edict from Hannigan Tomb.
You wish to see me, Lord Abbot?
Yes, Tantadeo. Thank you for coming. Come in, please. Sit down.
Thank you. I'm sorry if my lecture caused offense, my lord. As a scientist, I regard the freedom to speculate as essential to my work.
No one has sought to deprive you of it, nor is anyone offended. We cannot, however, permit the intellect to be abused for reasons of pride and vanity.
You question the honor of my motives?
At times, my son, I question my own. And I certainly question the honor of this. This document we have just received from Texarkana. Here, read it.
A mayoral edict?
Read it, learned Tan, and rejoice in your freedom.
There is a certain foreign prince, one minute. Rome, certain authority on. My God! You know what this means!
I do. Read on.
We, the only legitimate ruler of the church in this Rome, acting the loyal people, the prince, bishop, is a heretic, Simone, a murderer. Lord Abbot, someone should have warned New Rome against making idle threats.
New Rome does not make idle threats.
When did you receive this intelligence?
Just this evening. One of our brothers on leave, Brother Claret, brought it across the plains. The journey, I fear, has cost him his life.
Claret, secretary to the papal nuncio, Father Marcus Apollo.
That is correct. Father Apollo himself has been crucified.
Are you surprised? Hannigan is not above crucifying your entire order.
In such an event, Tantadeo, some new martyrs will attain heaven.
Let's be frank with each other, Father. I can't fight the prince who makes my work possible. No matter what I think of his policies. Personally, I condemn Hannigan's actions. But if he extends his lands, the Collegium may incidentally benefit. If the Collegium prospers, mankind will profit from our work.
Those who survive, perhaps.
Well, that's always true in any event.
Not at all. 12 centuries ago, not even the survivors profited. But must we start down that road again?
What are you suggesting? That we dissolve the Collegium, move it to the desert, and somehow, with no gold or silver of our own, revive an experimental theoretical science slowly, without telling anyone what we're doing? Save it all up for the day when man is good and pure and holy and wise.
That is not what I meant.
I know very well what you mean, Father. Keep science cloistered. Don't try to apply it. Don't try to do anything with it until men are holy. Well, it won't work. You've been doing that in this abbey for generations.
We haven't withheld anything.
No, you've sat on it, kept it quiet, told no one about it, and you have done absolutely nothing with it.
I can see that your misunderstanding of our position is basic. Look, Tantadeo, look at the statue of our founder that stands in that courtyard. Isaac Edward Leibowitz. He was a scientist, like yourself, before the world went mad and he ran for sanctuary. He died for our sake. When they drenched him with fuel oil, legend says he asked them for a cup of it. He blessed that cup, and some say that the oil changed to wine as he did so. And then he drank it before they hung him and set him on fire. Shall I read you a list of our martyrs? Shall I name all the battles we have fought to keep these records intact? All the monks blinded in the copy room for your sake?
Oh, what an irony. These records should be placed in competent hands before...
Yes, Tantadeo? Before what? Would you please clarify that remark?
I spoke in the heat of the moment, Reverend Father. I retract these words. I didn't mean them.
I accept your retraction. But when your kinsman is told what a fine military garrison this abbey would make, be sure for his own sake that he is told this too. In the past, when our altars or the memorabilia have been threatened, our predecessors did not hesitate to resist with the sword. Now then, when do you wish to leave?
The morning will be soon enough.
Very well. I'll arrange for provisions to be made ready for your journey.
Well, Reverend Father, it's time to leave.
Aren't you worried about the fighting on the plains?
We're to camp at a butte about a week's ride to the east. It's been arranged for a group of nomads to meet us there.
I do hope that their political allegiance hasn't been reversed since these arrangements were made.
We'll take that chance. Before leaving, I thought it only proper to give you this.
What is it?
The study Josard was making of your fortifications. Sketches, calculations, everything. I suggest you burn everything immediately.
Tantadeo, give me your hand.
Gladly, Reverend Father.
Oh, when you get back to the Collegium, deliver this message to your colleagues. Just say that anyone who wishes to study here will be made welcome. When the time comes, as it surely will, not only priests, but scientists too will require sanctuary. And our walls are thick out here.
When I see Hannigan, I can promise no intercession on your behalf.
I know.
Because I still believe that what you have here should be open to the whole world.
It is, it was, it always will be.
Farewell, my Lord Abbot.
Tantadeo, farewell. God with you, my son. Nunc dimittis servum tuum.
Than hell down here, isn't it?
Father!
I know you, don't I? Are you the soldier who threatened me back at the Abbey? Captain Josard!
Please, Father, please!
You're not looking well, Captain. You've turned a chalky shade of green.
Shrive me! Shrive me!
How can I shrive you? I am the man who killed you, aren't I? Stabbed you 3 times with this knife.
Oh, God! I'm dying! I'm dying!
You certainly are, Captain. And so am I. Oh, it's phenomenal. I always suspected Providence of plotting the worst for me when the time came. I expected to rot away slowly and not very fragrantly. A blubbering, leprous lump. Cravenly penitential, but impenitent to the last.
Father, please, shrive me.
Still with us, are you? Very well, my son. Crush yourself and make your confession.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Ego te absolvo, fili. That you were untruly shriven, and the buzzards can have you. They can have us both, once I finish the contents of your water bottle. There's enough for a couple of drinks at least. Understand why I did that, Captain. I mean, it wasn't my fault.
and I'm not even wearing my eyeball. If you'd just cut the woman down with your saber and rode off, I'd never have been involved. Oh, but you kept hacking and hacking. Oh, God, don't tell me I have to die because of a dull saber. What's that? Someone's coming. Who is that? Oh, my friend. My friend. What a joy to see you again. In your burlap robe and your bindle stiff. Over here. Over here. Over.
In A Canticle for Leibowitz by Walter M. Miller, Jr., the part of Don Paolo was played by Michael McKenzie. Eleazar by John Shedden. Francis, Andrew Price. Taddeo, Bill Riddick. Arcus, Alexander Morton. Galt, Gordon Fulton. Cornhoer, Alec Heggie. Claret, Robert Carlyle. And poet, Charles Kearney. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The incidental music was composed by David Dorwood and sung by Capella Nova, directed by Alan Taverner. The Canticle for Leibowitz was dramatised for radio by Donald Campbell and produced in our Edinburgh studios by Hamish Wilson.